Bibles, if you will, and turn to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 8 through 16 today in this short but very powerful book. Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. You can find it on page 223 if using the Bibles under the seats. Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. Let us now hear with glad and eager hearts what the Lord will say to us from Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me, and how you left your father and mother in your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." And she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she arose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." This is the word of the living God for God's people today. Let us give him thanks and praise. Will you pray with me as we ask the Lord to bless? O Lord our God, who brings the lonely and who brings the brokenhearted near, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, yet again, we look at and we are confronted with a situation in the history of redemption where an outsider from the covenants of grace and a former worshiper of false gods encountered a real and serious follower of the true and living God and was overwhelmed by the love and grace of the Lord. Oh Lord, we are called to be an oasis of grace and truth, because you, O God, are God of grace and truth. And Christ Jesus has brought us near to him and made us who were outside, far away from the family of God, now to be a united people of God. So help us to see that what takes place here in Ruth is far more than a story. It's a picture of what Christ does for us who truly confess the living God, revealed in Christ Jesus. And we pray this in the name of Christ our Lord, who loved us and who gave himself for us. Amen and amen. So last time, we looked at chapter 2 in the broad sweep and got the general view of what was going on. We focused on, that time, God's providential control, his direction, his love, his care in Ruth's life, and ultimately in Naomi's life. Today, what I'd like for us to do is to zero in on an important minor theme in this drama. It's a very powerful undercurrent that permeates the entire book. And that important theme centers on Boaz's reception of Ruth, Boaz's integration of Ruth into his company of workers. He gave her a welcome. He embraced her. And that led to Ruth's full acceptance into God's covenant community. And actually, when you think about it, it's not such a minor theme at all, this idea of being accepted and being integrated into the people of God. I mean, if, as we said before, Ruth was written to validate King David's rule, to give it legitimacy because of a foreigner that was in the family line, if that's one of the main purposes, it was necessary that his family, and especially one who was a foreigner, it was necessary for her to be welcomed and for her to be accepted. And that's what we're seeing. Now we have to try to think as people in those days did. We in this country, we are very acclimated to think mostly in individualistic terms. We think more of the individual. It tends to dominate. But in the days of the judges, it was the group or the family, the country, the nation that really took precedence. You loved those who were inside of your group. And you were suspicious of those who were outside. And of course, Ruth was an outsider. Now, in her heart, she was an insider. To Naomi, she was an insider. To the Lord God, she was an insider. She had confessed the Lord of Israel to be her Lord. So in that sense, she was an insider. But to the people, to the citizens of Bethlehem, Ruth was an outsider. She was a foreigner. Israel looked at Naomi, her lineage, being from Moab, that she was a woman whose existence and country had literally been birthed in incest. It was compromise from was with Sodom and Gomorrah that led to the rise of Moab. So the pedigree of Moab was very, very suspect in the eyes of the Israelites. Israel, on the other hand, you recall it, began its existence with Abraham and Sarah, who obeyed God when he had them to come out from a people of that worshipped idols. So here we have Naomi and Ruth. They are back in the land of promise. But the big question is, will the land of promise accept and welcome Ruth? Will they be hospitable even to Naomi, a woman who had left when times were tough in Israel? Will they accept and welcome a young foreign widow? I mean, will things get better for Naomi in God's country? Or will they get worse? So we examined the contours of chapter 2 last time, and we're not going to repeat that, but I do want to focus this morning on verses 8 through 16, because it's really in these verses that we begin to view this minor theme, that really isn't so minor after all, this idea of welcoming and integrating Ruth into the company of Boaz. It's here we begin to see it take shape and the steps that Boaz took to bring her near. And we actually could start in verse 5 and notice then the progression of Boaz's welcome and his integration of Ruth. The first thing he did was to notice her, seeing at verse 5, and that he inquired about her. And so actually, I mean, really it begins there. These are certainly very necessary components. And certainly as God calls us to welcome and to integrate the outsider, we need to notice them. We need to care enough to inquire about them as Boaz did. But I really want us to start with verse 8, because it's here that Boaz, he really gets involved now in Ruth's life. And we can identify 10 distinct movements, 10 distinct aspects, if you will, of Boaz's interaction with Ruth, with her life, that led her to being accepted, led her to being welcomed into the company of his workers. And I'll try to single them out, but really it's not important that you necessarily write them down, analyze them individually. We're not talking about a mechanical process here, some technique just to get down in order to welcome others. All of this happened organically. It flowed naturally from the heart of Boaz. I mean, Boaz didn't set out one day and say, who can I meet that I could put 10 steps to welcome a stranger today into practice? I mean, it came naturally from him. And that's where it has to begin with us, in the heart. So let's zero in on verses 8 through 16, because it's here that we find there's a lot going on. If we had to break this down analytically, we might see in verses 8 through 13, Boaz's initial approach toward Ruth. His initial approach in verses 8 through 13. First, notice in verse 8, Boaz speaks directly to Ruth. Now, he's the boss. He can talk to whomever he wants to. But remember, now, Ruth is a foreigner, and she's a woman. Now, see how Boaz addresses Ruth. He calls her my daughter. And that was particularly a polite greeting. It communicated that Boaz was kindly disposed to her. So he speaks directly. But second, Boaz, he just doesn't make small talk, although there's nothing wrong with that. Oftentimes that's how we break the ice. But here we see Boaz seeks to meet a need. And he tells Ruth to keep close to his servant girls who were working in the field. In verses 8 and 9, we see that. I mean, she'll feel much more comfortable. She'll be safer that way. She'll be viewed as part of the company. And then thirdly, Boaz lets Ruth know that he has protected her from the harassment of the young men. Probably they were in a habit of shooing away the gleaners that got too close, wanting to get as much harvest as they could. And so, but he was going to protect Ruth from any of that harassment by the young men. And of course, Ruth sees all of this as just exceptionally gracious, and she just, out of respect, just bows down before Boaz, and in a statement of very humble submission and thankfulness, she speaks to Boaz. Now, in our welcome of others, don't think if a visitor or a guest doesn't fall down before you that your greeting has not been noticed, that you haven't done a good job. They probably will fall down later, you know, when there's more room between maybe outside. But Boaz greatly impacted Ruth, and she showed it. Now, the fourth thing that Boaz does is he pronounced a blessing over Ruth. We see that in verses 11 and 12. And of course, this had to really communicate to Ruth that she was welcomed and accepted. I won't take time to go into the import of Boaz's blessing upon Ruth, but he certainly had heard about a young widow's kindness to the woman named Naomi, and now he was able to put a face to it. And he hopes that she gets not just an average blessing, but a full reward from the Lord God. Indeed, he invokes a blessing upon her. And of course, again, Ruth is just overwhelmed by this generous display of generosity. She just never expected it, that this would happen. I mean, she's not even one of his servants, and here he's treating her with some great favor. And she is incredibly comforted and has hope. Now, all four of these aspects that we've looked at, we could say were initial, Boaz's initial contact, his initial approach to Ruth that we see in these verses. Welcoming, though, and integrating others into the family of God, into the group, it doesn't just stop with an initial connection. you have to seek out more contact. And Boaz does this very thing. In verses 14 through 16, what we view is Boaz's follow-up. Guys, I think I'm going to switch to the pulpit mic, if you don't mind. Boaz's follow-up and continuing integration of Boaz. So, as you see, verse 14, Boaz really begins to draw Ruth in at this point. And in terms of the story, one of the things you're probably wondering is, what is Boaz's motivation? Why is he doing all this? You know, is he just being kind like a father to a daughter? Does he just want to show gratitude because the Lord has blessed him and he wants to pass it on? Or does he have maybe a romantic interest in Ruth? These thoughts beginning to swirl in the mind of the reader. What is exactly is going on? But now back to the welcome and to the integration dynamic. In verse 14, we see Boaz initiates Ruth and he invites her to lunch, to have a meal. Not to eat all alone. He wants her to eat with his gang of workers. Now, to a Middle Easterner, a meal is not just a time to fill up your stomach. It's an opportunity to fellowship, to have fun, to share stories and ideas and information. And we see that Boaz had some dipping sauce to spice up the dry food, some wine perhaps, a staple that would be of the bread would be at mealtime. And he wanted to make it more palatable. Here he is eating some good food, and he wants Ruth to join in as well. I mean, gleaners probably had to bring their own sack lunch, but here he is inviting Ruth to his own lunch. And then this fifth approach that we see really begins to bring Ruth into the fold, into the company. She's eating with the boss. We could see the mealtime actions of Boaz just as one big aspect of this integration process. But there's a sixth thing that Boaz does during the meal. He serves Ruth. He gives her a huge helping of food. The language even indicates that he just heaped this on her plate. He just heaped a pile. He probably didn't have a plate, but he just heaped it in front of her. Generous. And she had more than she could eat. So she got a doggy bag and took it home to Naomi. I'm sure Ruth would have seen all of this as a sufficient welcome. But Boaz isn't finished yet. Here, the seventh aspect in the integration process, I mean, this really now welcomes Ruth into the field. He grants Ruth special access to glean, not just among the dropped uncut grain among the servant girls. He gives her access to glean among the cut piles of grain. The grain that the workers themselves were bundling together, verse 15. So she's among the sheaves, right up close. And then we see for a second time, 8, Boaz gives instructions for the male workers not to hassle her. Don't give her any trouble. Gleaners just didn't forage like this among the sheaves. So Boaz is drawing Ruth in, but he's still not done. 9, first part of verse 16, he commands his men to make Ruth's gleaning even easier, to pull out from the sheaves the grain that had been cut so she doesn't have to cut it, making her work easier. I mean, it'd be like, you know, when you go to Walmart or Wegmans sweet corn time, and instead of them having all in the barrels, they would shuck it for you. Wouldn't that be great? You wouldn't have to do it. Actually, it's better to keep them shucked if you don't eat it right away. But this is what these guys were doing for Ruth. They were making her job easier. And then finally, number 10, for a third time, Boaz protects Ruth. And he forbids his men to rebuke her, to reproach her. So again, let's not view this as just some mechanical steps to take, like checking off a box in order to welcome and integrate others into the family. Think about it. There was no profit for Boaz in this. He probably was losing money.
But he was ready to spend himself for this foreigner. I mean, his attitude is, what can I do for you rather than what can you do for me? Believe me, visitors, strangers, outsiders, they tend to know if you're just sidling up to them in order to get something from them, or if you really care about them as people. You know, are they just another notch on your Bible, an added perhaps contributor to the budget, or a volunteer for some task like maybe Sunday school or nursery? Or are they really living, breathing people who have wants, who have needs, who have cares, who have ideas, and yes, have even fears? So let's just take a few moments, the time we have left, for us to reflect on how Boaz's welcome of Ruth into his circle, what does that say? What does that mean for us here in this body of believers? You know, in Scripture, we have this theme. We have the theme of from a stranger to a citizen, or from an alien to a member, or of an outsider to an insider. That theme is very prominent all throughout Scripture. I mean, it mirrors, does it not, what takes place when the Lord our God takes us from being children of wrath to being sons and daughters of God. He welcomes us. We who were on the outside are now brought near. You know, prior to regeneration, prior to being born again by the Spirit of God, we were aliens, we were strangers, we were separated from the commonwealth of God's people. We were foreigners to the covenant of grace. Completely on the outside. And you know, of all people, we ought to understand how it feels, what it means to be on the outside looking in. Because that's where we were. And because of this, Christians should be the most welcoming, the most hospitable, the most embracing of all people. We have a great motive for welcoming all who love Christ. No matter what they look like, no matter what their background might be, no matter what their part or their past in life has been, despite even what they've been forgiven from, we should be the most welcoming and embracing of people. God reminded the Israelites that at one time they had been aliens and strangers in a foreign land. And he called on that experience for them to realize that that should affect and impact how you treat others. I mean, he said to them, "You shall not oppress a sojourner." You know the heart of a sojourner, an alien. For you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. So as we think about it, the first thing I think we need to apply and realize is we have an important incentive for us to welcome an outsider. And that is to remember that you once were an outsider too. You once were an outsider too. We should know the feeling of a stranger. And we know the feeling of being welcomed by the Lord. There was a recent study, and it found that 40% less people today have 40% less empathy than they did 10 years ago. I mean, don't you love how these attitudes are quantified? How do they do that, I wonder? But that does seem to be today this great who cares attitude that has formed in our culture. When you believe the gospel, when you live the gospel, that attitude changes. You care about other people. You care about their life. You care about their soul. The Spirit puts a compassion in your heart for others who are lost, for others who are lonely, for for others who are on the outside. I mean, even if you've never felt that way, personally, the Spirit does give you this desire to reach out and to bring those who are far off near to know Christ. But I would think probably most of us do know what it's like to be feeling like one who's on the outside. And yet, welcoming and integrating a Ruth, someone who embraces the true and living God, that's more than just feeling compassionate. It's important, but it's a whole lot more than that. And so secondly, welcoming the outsider means working to make them feel like an insider. Working to make them feel like an insider. It means investing time. It means expending energy. Communications professor at the University of Kansas, he published research about the relationship between time invested in a friendship and what he would call friendship closeness, the time that it would take. In general, his research said that it took about 40 to 60 hours to form a casual friendship. Moving from casual to friend required 80 to 100 hours. Going from friend to good or best friend took between 160 and 200 hours. Some time. And certainly some energy. And time spent together was a key indicator of friendship closeness. But the type of activity also mattered as well. For example, more time spent at work or in class together actually predicted lower closeness. But more time spent hanging out, and this tended to be the key, without an agenda, predicted higher closeness. Now we know that the family of Christ needs to worship together. We're commanded to worship together. Whether we feel close to one another or not, we're commanded to worship. But the family of Christ also needs to hang out together, be with one another. And I know we live in a fast-paced place, and that can be a real challenge. It can be a hardship. But it's important if real biblical and spiritual connections are to take place. Now, that said, when first getting to know someone, a brother or sister in Christ, someone that you don't know, someone seeking the Lord, someone just checking out the faith, perhaps. Now, there's practical things, some very simple things we need to be aware of that you should keep in mind. I think of Proverbs 15:30. And it says, the light of the eyes, and other versions say that, a cheerful look. Something simple as a smile can actually go a long way towards welcoming and drawing others in, to those you talk to. So smile often. And I seriously doubt if Boaz had a frown on his face when he was talking and conversing with Ruth. And of course, you certainly need to initiate conversation. Some are better at this than others. I think we all can learn. We all can improve. Some of us are natural extroverts. It doesn't take us any effort at all to know what to say. Others of us, you know, we have to work at it. And we feel awkward. And yet, we're called to do that. God uses means. God uses and employs His people. He uses you. He uses me in this endeavor to integrate and welcome those in the family of God. And we often fumble. We mess up so many times. And yet God is pleased to still do it. Because even our mess-ups are never a barrier to the work of the Spirit in the heart of the one that God is calling. Boaz welcomed Ruth into his circle. And this integration instinct, I think we can trace it in David's line, in his family line. David himself was an incredible welcomer. I mean, you think of all David's mighty men. And among those mighty men were not just others from his own tribe of Judah, but those who are outside the tribe. He even had foreigners in his group of mighty men, like Uriah the Hittite or Zelek the Ammonite. So this integration instinct really took hold in Boaz's family and worked its way through. Now, realistically, you and I, we cannot do this all by ourselves. It takes all of us. It takes all of us to look outwardly, to lift up our eyes and look on the fields. But that certainly, because it does take all of us, doesn't mean we should adopt, let someone else do it. True? You know, not everyone that we encounter wants to be brought near. Certainly Ruth wanted to be part of Israel. And Boaz, he facilitated that. It does often take experience, discernment to learn who does and who does not want to be brought near. But even if someone does not want to be brought near, to be an insider, so to speak, in the family of God, we still show kindness and a readiness to welcome and embrace them. I really don't have enough time to develop this last point in any great detail, but just remember that welcoming the stranger as an insider, it presumes that the stranger wants to become an insider. You cannot force it. And it never means compromising or being less than who you are in Christ. I mean, Boaz was himself. Ruth's heart had been changed by the Lord God, because it's ultimately the work of Almighty God in the heart. But still, we need to be ready. We need to be equipped to do what the Lord calls us to do and to welcome those who truly do want to draw near to the Lord. Those who don't, we still love, still respect them, still pray for them. Time may not just be right for them to embrace the Lord. Those things happen. The Lord our God commands His people to welcome, to enfold those whom He brings near to Himself. To be His arms, to be His welcome group, His welcome greeters, to bring them into His church, those who have professed faith and are committed to Him. You know, God used Boaz. We see it. He played a huge role, played more of a role than just welcoming and integrating, but that was a key, to bring Ruth closer to the Lord God whom she professed. Don't wait for someone else to be a Boaz in the field of God's house. You be Boaz. You lift up your eyes and see just who might be a stranger, who might actually want to live with God's people. Bring them near. Bring them near to yourself, to the family of Christ. Bring them near to Christ Himself. And perhaps you might be that Ruth today who feels alone, feels vulnerable, very unsure of where God is bringing you, whether He's bringing you to the right place. Just keep working. Keep waiting. Keep trusting, just as Ruth did. The Lord God will bring a Boaz of some sort across your path. Someone who will take you under the wing. I'm sure Ruth went through times of feeling outside, feeling alone, feeling very strange, feeling very weird. But as she persevered, she saw, she experienced the Lord's hand guiding her and directing her, bringing her near. And you will too. God will bring you near to His people. God brings the parts together into a whole. It will not be completely done, certainly, until Christ returns. But until that time, we, His sons, His daughters, His Boazes, his workers, his gleaners, his servants. We work in the field the Lord God has given to us, and welcoming the redeemed stranger, even as Christ has welcomed us. And if you're not a redeemed stranger, we welcome you to become one. You might still have family in Moab. You might still belong to Moab. But the food in Emmanuel's land is true food for everlasting life. Oh Lord God, you who welcome and who embrace us when we were far off, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Your work of bringing repentant sinners near. That's our work also. It's a work, it's a labor to which you call us to take to heart and to do. So Lord, we ask that you would impress upon us to look around, notice those who want to draw near. And had it not, O Lord, been for your amazing grace, we would still be on the outside looking in. But now we're on the inside. The inside of God's house, where we were welcomed in by others. And so now may we do the same. Continue building your church, O Lord. Enlist us in this great divine task we ask. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are God's people. He has brought us near. We are the chosen of the Lord, born of His Spirit. Let's stand and sing.